Prologue. Eternity in a Peach Box. The genesis of this book was a series of initially unplanned conversations during Dallas Willard's final few months on Earth. Beginning in January 2013, Dallas and I spent a good deal of time together working diligently to finish The Divine Conspiracy Continued. When we started our research, Dallas was reasonably hopeful he would recover from his cancer, if not fully, at least enough to finish a few lingering writing projects. He was optimistic about having at least several months, perhaps even years, of life still ahead. This hope was justified by a cautiously optimistic prognosis. He talked about his outlook for the future one chilly winter morning as we walked through the garden toward his library. The library was located in a little white house that sits on a lot adjacent to the Willards' home, which at the time was filled to the rafters with books and boxes of all shapes, conditions, and sizes, full of a myriad of subjects. Forrest Gump's mama used to say, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." The same was true of the bookshelves and boxes in the Willard Library. One never knew what treasure could be found packed away in some lonely corner. It was a perfect space for quiet study and contemplation, where I routinely got lost for hours in deep and meaningful reflection. Dallas was in good spirits that day. Having recovered from a recent chemotherapy treatment, he shared with me his excitement about starting our new project together. With deliberate movements, he took his time finding the books and papers we needed. We found a collection of used grocery boxes high atop a row of bookshelves, full of notes and teaching materials he had used in his philosophy classes at the University of Southern California, USC. Many of the subjects covered in The Divine Conspiracy Continued originated from the notes and lectures gathered in an old brawny paper towel box labeled Professions. Next to it was a Del Monte Peaches box labeled Death and Immortality. "Death and immortality? What's that?" I asked. "Oh, that's something I taught now and again. Not a class for the faint of heart," he quipped with a chuckle. He asked me to take both boxes down from the bookshelf. As I worked through the brawny box, he began to thumb through the Del Monte box. He continued thumbing for quite a while, long enough that I got him a chair so he could sit while he rummaged. It was a surprise for me to discover a subject he had thought so deeply about but had never published. More importantly, in suffering through his illness and considering the prospects of a terminal diagnosis, Dallas was now experiencing firsthand some realities he had previously only considered in theory. He was facing his own mortality, and immortality was now closer than ever before. It was a poignant moment for me to watch Dallas read over his now aged, faded notes and ideas on the subject of death and eternal life. The emotions on his face ranged from surprise, thankfulness, and irony as he engaged in an internal conversation with an earlier version of himself. The box of insights acted as a time capsule of sorts, opened at just the perfect moment. He spent a couple of intensive hours silently skimming his writings and reflections. Finally, after I had organized my stacks of material, I asked